16, this will be discussion, there'll be no action on this. Update from the Executive Director, Gary Longacre, on the Nevada Rural Housing Authority and the Home at Last programs.
Morning.
Morning.
For the record, Gary Longacre, Nevada Rural Housing Authority. I passed out to you before the meeting started, annual report. I think all of you have gotten that before. It does have two attachments in there. A summary of a housing study that we're doing right now. Virginia City's a part of that. Restoring County is. There's also a brochure in there on our single-family programs. New faces to me. I haven't been here in a little while. I want to let you know just a little bit about Nevada Rural Housing Authority, what we are, or maybe more importantly, what we aren't. We were a state housing agency at first, or a state agency, if you will, for about 20 years, but in 95, due to the work of Tom Grady, Bob Hadfield, we became a quasi-governmental entity. We're not a part of the state budgetary process. We don't get any money from the state. The programs we administer, that's how we get our fees, our revenues, if you will. Those revenues go back into the maintenance of the programs and or to develop new programs. We've got three departments, housing programs, a real estate division, and our Home at Last, which is a part of our finance division as well. That legislation in 95 that placed us under Nevada Association of County League of Cities, by the way, I should mention, they're the ones that provide oversight for us and appoint our board. The 2005 legislation that we had simply quantified the programs that we can do and defined our jurisdiction. On the housing programs, NRHA actually started administering what we now call the voucher program. It's a program that provides a subsidy to low-income families. I heard Dean bragging a little bit about some of the standards there. We've been a high performer in that program for 8 years, which is a rather significant achievement. We help families across the state. We have implemented a number of new programs in that particular division. One is the veterans vouchers for veterans, homeless veterans. We're asked to administer that or implement it about 3 or 4 years ago. We also started a home ownership program using our vouchers where the families get their subsidy first toward home ownership, and then eventually they transition and they're no longer on the program at all. And about midway through last year, we got approved for what's called a family self-sufficiency program. And the whole design of that program is for people on vouchers to get them off vouchers between a 3 to 5 year period so they can become independent of welfare, family, food stamps, and things like that. Our real estate division was actually a creation of or a result of a housing study we did back in 2005. We did that to find out what the needs were, what the challenges were that our various jurisdictions faced. But one of the things that came out of that was that there might be a real need for us to assist in the planning and or in development in some cases. That division now has apartment complexes that extend from Carson City all the way to Elko. We've been asked to take over a number of apartment complexes for various and sundry reasons. Tom Grady, a number of years ago, asked us to take over Yarrington Manor in Yarrington. That wasn't having any problem. They just wanted somebody to take over the management of it. We did what we call a greening of that, a complete rehab of it, just a couple of years ago. One of the first in that new program for the country. We did a housing study in Winnemucca and Humboldt County a number of years ago at their behest, helped them do a visioning, if you will, and they said that what they needed was senior housing. Last year, we finished and opened Larios Arms senior facility in Winnemucca. It's contiguous to their senior center, and they've asked us to start developing some new senior housing for them. We're doing like we did in Carson City a couple of years ago, where we did a complete rehab of a senior facility there and then added 48 units. We're doing the same thing in Fallon right now with a project there. And we're looking and doing a study on the possibility of a veterans facility down in Douglas County. We also do private sector. We had Eureka County come to us with USDA a few years ago. They had gotten some land from BLM. I'm glad they got it before they had any problems with BLM like you're about to have. But at any rate, they got about 100 acres. And they had a mine that was supposed to develop that land for them, put in a subdivision. For some reason, the two entities got at loggerheads. We were brought in to see if we could resolve the differences and get things going. We ended up taking over, doing all the planning for that project, and then we built a 50-unit townhome complex in Eureka County. The housing study that you've got there, or the summary that you've got, I think is an excellent summary. If you'd read through that today, it goes a lot further than the first housing study that we did. It looks back about 20-some-odd years. It looks forward 20 to 30 years. It takes a very hard look at what the infrastructure needs are in a particular community, and it also addresses the private sector, unlike other studies have done before. The way that VSI, the group that's doing this, they contact the private industries at the behest of the communities. Like here, we've been working, I think, both with Austin and others in the community to find out who to go see. They then contact the private sector entities and get information from them by promising them that their information will be kept confidential. And then it's simply summarized in the final study. Then once the study's finished, then what we'll do is simply come forward and ask, what are the things that we can do to help the city or county as far as any development that you'd like to see take place. I think it was, we worked with Austin, Desi, and a little bit with somebody that I've known for about 10 years, Dean Haymore. The last brochure that we've got, or the other brochure that we've got in your packet, is this one. Dean and I think possibly Pat will remember, I started coming here, like I did all the other cities and counties, in 2006, asking for your allocation of private activity bond cap if you weren't going to use it. And we'd use that to combine with the other people across the city and state to develop bond programs, tax exempt, and help first-time home buyers. That program was a great partnership. It resulted in about $350 million in transfers over the years. As of today, I was telling Dean and Austin both today, our first program, it was a $10 million deal, and it took us 13 months to do 51 loans. We're now past 2,200 loans across the state with those programs. The reason I wanted you to see this new brochure is the old programs used tax-exempt bonds to help first-time home buyers. We're now using taxable bonds, have been for about the last year and a half. As a result, you don't have to be a first-time home buyer. You still get the benefit of 4 points of down payment and closing cost assistance in the form of a grant. That's one program. Now, we implemented what are called mortgage credit certificate programs a number of years ago as well that also makes use of your PABC allocation. And how that works is the families that participate in the program, after they've closed, they start getting an actual tax break of about $2,000 a year for the life of the mortgage or until it starts going down on principal. The beauty of our new program that's a taxable is that the family, they don't have to be a first-time home buyer to participate. But if they are, they can combine the Access program with the MCC program so they can get both a low mortgage, 4 points of down payment closing cost assistance, and they can get the tax break from the MCC program. I was told that if I didn't keep my remarks brief today, I might be hurt by Austin and Dean, so that completes my presentation. Any questions on the programs?
I do, as a matter of fact.
You bet.
How does this fit in with, and I read through this and I didn't see any direct comments, or maybe I missed them, to disabled veterans programs, Native American housing loans, things like that. Is there any cross connection between this and some of these other programs? Or?
What we hope to do is it won't be with Native American, although that's an area that we want to delve into within the next 5 years. But on the veterans facility, this will be our first attempt to build a veterans facility. And the reason we're looking at Douglas County is they've got facilities down there for treatment, a host of things, and so that's the reason we're looking at Douglas County first.
Okay.
And it will be with working with the VA, Department of Veterans Affairs, and then possibly HUD and the USDA.
Okay.
And we hope to get that the planning finished on it this year. Any other questions?
I have just one comment. Dean and Austin and I and many others have been working with Gary and his small team for, I guess you said 10 years. It seems like it's been even longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, it's very rewarding when our citizens come in and say, I have a job. This hasn't been a few years now, but, I have a job. It's time to make that move to get into a house, but I'm intimidated. I don't know where to turn to. I don't know how to get help, I don't know what's out there. And you heard Gary throw out a couple of acronyms and free programs and a change in this one. It's as simple as call Nevada Rural Housing, and they walk you through the process. It's just been a wonderful relationship with you guys.
Thank you very much. I think I share some age with some of you, where our hair is either turned gray or turned loose, like with Pat and I. But we've got a website that you can go on, www.nbrural.org, and it's very easy to navigate. We're finding more and more people are using that to find out about the mortgage programs themselves. So thank you for your comments. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, we'll move on to item 17. There'll be no action on this today, but we're going to have a workshop on whether to extend the Story County infrastructure tax and the plan of projects to be funded by the tax.
So our controller's going to walk us through the start of this.
Very good. All right, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for grabbing the workshop here for hopefully the expenditures of money that we've had for quite some time. We've been through the history of probably since 2000 as to what the expenditures have been, what we've spent it on, which is basically water tanks and school projects. And for a little bit of history, this infrastructure tax started with the legislative session in 1997. And in that period of time, they were looking for a designated revenue source for county infrastructure, because probably the buildings were getting old, things were getting needed to be remodeled, reconstructed. But the parameters were very, very small in the beginning. Since then, and through the 2011 adaptation of a lot of things, it's pretty much wide open. It includes water facilities and wastewater facilities, floodplains for the prevention of floods, facilities for disposal of solid waste, construction and renovation of facilities for schools, construction and renovation facilities for cultural and historical value, projects described in subsection 2, which is actually the construction or repair of roads, acquisition and establishment and construction expansion for public safety or cultural, recreational, or judicial functions, payment of interest and principals on securities for facilities, and any combination of those purposes above, which means it's the whole gamut now. I mean, so they have expanded it quite extensively because I think in part the counties were holding money that they couldn't spend because they were too limited in the beginning. I think you have in front of you a list of that we have adopted for this workshop, which kind of breaks down where we are, and there are copies in the back for those of you who don't have this copy. And I will go through those briefly. Public Works, and all of these are not to exceed. Obviously, we've got a replacement for the Lakeview, a request for the Lakeview water line. This is probably a 110-year-old water line, probably, Mike, somewhere around there? 1875. Mike gave a great presentation on the history of this and also what could happen if we've got one of those things break in Washoe Valley. Yep. We have the 5-mile reservoir restoration for about $300,000, which expands our water capacity, and also the divide sewer restoration, which again expands our water supply. So that is one of our significant items. Buildings and grounds includes V&T Depot purchase, V&T restoration, Gold Hill Depot restoration, courthouse remodeling, the purchase of our fire station in the Highlands, the purchase or the payment of the DA Sheriff building, and a new or use Justice Court location, and that total comes to $2,000,004 for all those. Then we have land purchases for a total of $875,000. We've got community development for Mark Twain at $75,000, Lockwood at $70,000, and we have our industrial park with our partner in the industrial park for county road repair and county drainage and erosion, and that's $600,000. So as you look at this, we are looking at $2 million of infrastructure money we have, and we have about $7.4 million of requests. Now, if we take this to roughly what we receive per month from this option tax for sales, which is about $15,000 a month, it would take us 41 years to complete this list. Okay. That's, so keep this in mind when we're looking at this. So my my recommendation would be is that staff comes back with comments and whatever as to priorities. Some of this stuff can be done in other venues. We can do it through the budget process. We can do it through cap projects. And with regards, specific regards to the industrial park, we need to fix that. That's a lifeline out there. We need to fix it. And it's kind of like as they do in Vegas, we spend the money and we'll figure out where we're going to get it later. But we can do that. I think it's a necessary, something that through the infrastructure process may take too long. I think this needs to be done, and I think Mike will agree that as soon as the weather gets good, let's get it done and do that. I know that it's needed, and I think that that's something that is badly needed. Anyway, so with that, I have no further comments other than those who may want to come up and comment on the workshop.
If I can too. Sure. Go ahead, Pat.
You did mention the other venues, and one in particular I want to speak to, because it is still a pending question. You'll notice that there is the potential to purchase the train depot here in Virginia City to restore it, and also Gold Hill. Another avenue that we are definitely looking at is the amounts of money now being disputed to some degree that the Rail Commission owes us, because those are in play. So while these are in some cases place markers and items to start the list with, we may never get to some. We may find alternate options. The $3 million Lakeview water line, I'm very concerned about, to tell you the truth. So we've got to go out and look for other options at the same time, maybe in part. So that may never be $3 million. I'm with Hugh, and I think Mike is too. Expanding our water storage capacity is probably the highest priority, and with about a $380,000 ticket, I would tell you when we do get around to prioritizing these through the budget, that's going to be, if not number one, up there very high. Because Mike, what was the capacity increase by getting us back into 5 mile again?
The 5 mile reservoir would give us 5.5 million additional gallons of storage, and the Divide reservoir close to 2 million gallons.
So you'll see items come in, come out as we approach budget augmentations. We can utilize some of the cap projects monies as well, but this is really hopefully a good fresh start. This is as fresh a project as we can. Commissioner Gilman, I want to thank you for your foresight in getting certain marked money, both into Mark Twain and Lockwood, and definitely for the record, I think you can say this, I will. I wholeheartedly agree that we've got to fix the roads out and try. Vince and I had a conversation a meeting or two ago. Keep in mind, the lion's share of the sales tax that feeds this thing is coming from tri-projects. They're coming from buildings and materials. So I have no issues with getting those up to date so MDOT can take them over at a future date.
Great. You want to stand by for public comment?
Yeah.
Okay. Nicole, you have your hand up first, so you want to come on up?
Nicole Bard, Virginia City Highlands resident. I have a question. What process are you going to use to do the prioritization? What I'm asking is, are you going to be looking at an advisory group to work with you? Because obviously there's infrastructure here that, you know, is a countywide fine. Some of it is community specific fine as well. But we've all been in a scenario where we've got a list of things that are, you know, far more expensive than our ability to pay for it on the first part. And the second part is, in any list like this that you've got, there are things that are time sensitive or safety issues, et cetera, that have to get done. So what process will, and, you know, Hugh and I already had a brief conversation about that, there are options, other options, to fund these things as well. So what process are you guys going to use to determine what your, you know, top five things are going to be that you're going to focus on in the next 5 years?
And I can answer that.
Right.
I think it's staff's intent to use the annual budgeting process that Hugh referenced. This is a fund. It is a fund that you can budget anticipated expenses. We'll identify those through the tentative and final budget processes. This coming year, I would expect we'll be hoping to spend close to all that $2 million if we need it, but we'll go through and we'll give you the options. We'll let department heads like Mike talk about, you know, the benefits of expanding the storage capacities versus addressing maybe a portion of the Lakeview line versus all of the Lakeview line. There's some problematic areas that we're concerned with and have been. But it would, to get back to the question, Nicole, it would be presented during tentative and final budget workshops and budgeted that way for the next year.
But that's a budget answer. I'm asking a prioritization question of, out of a list of $7.4 million worth of projects, what process are you going to use that says, okay, here are the five things we absolutely have to do in 2015?
And I just answered that question again through the budget process. The budget is the answer to your question. Mike will have the opportunity to stand up during the tentative and final budgets if necessary and say, this is why this one's more critical than this one. Marshall can turn around and report on whatever the status of purchasing the B&T Depot, which has been dead in the water for two plus years. Things change, so it will be done that way through the budget.
So the only place that this will get integrated is at the budget hearings themselves. So, because what I'm hearing you say is within Public Works, he'll prioritize or whatever it is that he thinks is important, but not without thinking about alternatives in building or community development or land purchase. I mean, at some point, the whole list needs to be looked at by someone.
We will create 1 through 20, but subject for those to change in any numerical order at any time. You know, you look at this building needs a lot of repair work. This roof leaks, and it shouldn't leak, mm-hmm. but it does. Now, if we go ahead and budget money for that, but yet a grant comes up that we can utilize grant money, we use the grant money to fix the roof, and then we go ahead and we change the order of what else has been prioritized. You know, we have a blowout on the pipeline, and that, obviously that's going to go to number one because that piece of pipe has to be replaced.
Okay, so are you saying that you'll be looking at pieces of this every year as opposed to looking at
the
whole? It's going to be
constantly ongoing, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And we're also, by having public testimony today, we're looking for input from the general public as well, too. Mm-hmm. What you as a resident think is necessary for your community and the county at large. And anyone else who wishes to testify or send it their recommendations in writing, but that's what the workshop is all designed to do, is to get all the input that we can. Go ahead, Bill. You want to...
Yeah, I think that's very important. Is that, you know, we are looking for public input, and if you want to write up what you perceive as a priority list, and then...
I, as one person, wouldn't know that. That's why I'm asking a process question.
Yeah.
If you're going to, and I don't mean this negatively, it's going to come out that way, if you're going to nickel and dime it every year, you're going to relook at it, that's not a strategic way to do it. A strategic way to do it is to really sit down with the full list, with your full staff, as a group, decide how... You know, my particular project may be important to me, but it may not be of the best use of money for the entire county. That's all.
And this is very, very possible. You may know something about one item on this list that we are not aware of. And so if you prioritize things and you would want to put things down and say, this is the justification for this, 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 or this, for these reasons that, that you know, maybe we don't know. I can tell you right now, quite honestly, I can go through here and give you a priority list, but I don't know enough about some of these items to...
That's my point.
Exactly.
It needs to get integrated at some level, and I don't know that the budget process can do it.
Can I interrupt you for a minute, Nicole? Sure. Mr. Gilman would like to jump in.
Partially, Nicole, as I review this, I see several subjects or disciplines we're going to have to follow. One, I see it as placeholders. We've all having a discussion today in this room. This is a workshop of sorts where we can all input information and share as to what we're going to do. But basically, I see these as placeholders. Yep. These are things that have been identified in the community today that we believe just are justified to be on the list. Second thing that's going to have to take place is how the sales tax is collected. And so something that's coming along here shortly is Hugh and crew are meeting with the Division of Taxation Friday. And one of the things that's part and parcel to this is how we collect our sales taxes and how much more we can collect. So we're starting right now with a starting budget of about $2 million, give or take, I believe, on hand. And then we're looking at how much can we do this year. And we're seeing some tremendous growth at TRI, for example. So we can all anticipate maybe it's going to grow faster than it has historically. So I think that we're going to have to take all of those things into consideration as we decide in our community where should we focus. But at least we have a placeholder.
I think this is great. This is the first time I've seen it this way. I think it's great. That's, again, not my question. I would love to have the V&T depot purchase and the restoration done, but quite frankly, if I step back and look at the overall county, that's not the highest priority. Water, to me, would be, and so it's at what point do you look at what the top three gotta do's are, go get them done, then figure out, you know, how we're going to do this other stuff. That's
and it will probably change, because as we move forward, we're going to find grants. We're going to have
exactly.
other sources of revenue.
Exactly.
And so this is not a specific, this is one small taxable amount of revenue that we can focus on placeholders.
Okay.
And we'll enhance that as we move forward.
Well, and the list is also, I think, in some cases, it's not misleading, but it might give the wrong impression. For both the Fire Station 72 and the DA Sheriff's Building, though, there are already established approved debt obligations,
exactly.
So we won't be tapping it for $300,000 all in one, but we are already obligated for that. So we will definitely, those will, again, I still maintain through the budgeting process, those will rise to the highest list because they're already pre-approved commitments.
Okay.
The other thing, you know, that again we look at, and trust me, staff gets together twice a month at 7:30 in the morning, and as you look at some of these projects, for instance, water. Water doesn't just aid delivery of water to the houses. It's critical in terms of wildland firefighting. You can, you know, you'll be able to get, you know, with $2 million sitting right up here at the divide and $5 million out, you know, out to our west, you're going to have a great helicopter drop area that can be used during wildland fire attacks.
Okay.
So,
I understand that. I'm just saying that from a clarity standpoint, what the process is would be important to me as a citizen, as well as some of what you've just described as alternatives to these things may be useful to add to this list to go, you know, guys, yeah, take us 41 years to do $7 million. However, here are some other options that we have to get some of this money. This will whittle it down to maybe $3 million. That's within striking distance of getting some of this stuff done in 5 years. I mean, that's the process that happens in a workshop that isn't happening right now because I've run out of time. My last question is, and I don't expect an answer right now, is on the agenda last time in December, there were a couple of resolutions that had been proposed to change, and you had put these on, recommended motion, move to keep the infrastructure tax and approved plan of projects, okay, fine, but also to rewrite a couple of the ordinances, and there's some language in here that just doesn't make sense to me. Ordinance number, it's the ordinance 13251.
Nicole, if it doesn't deal with infrastructure, then
it does.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that was on the agenda December 3rd. It didn't show up on the agenda today. Infrastructure, I'll leave it.
It'll come back on the next meeting.
Yeah.
when they decide what the list is, we'll then follow up with the ordinance. But if you have any questions about the ordinance, I'll be glad to.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, remember, there's some things that are not on this list. This is incomplete right now, because Lance has got some things that aren't on here.
And that's a feeling that we as citizens get, is either when you give us something, it's not accurate, or once you give us something, oh, it changes later.
And, yeah, and Adam.
Give us jello, give us something that, for the most part, 80% is probably.
Yeah, and you can have, and Adam's got.
That's the intent here, Nicole. Placeholders, a place to start.
Thank you. Okay, Dale, come on up. Be nice.
No twerking.
No what?
No twerking.
I don't know what that means. I like this document I just got. It shows that somebody cares. My understanding in the water is all for the taxpayers that get the water have to pay for it. Isn't that right? The sewer and the water? So that's not on my back. My goat is Mark Twain, and I like to see it here. But what I'd like to see is the county go farther, just like she does, and get somebody down to Mark Twain, like this Far West Engineering that done the thing up here, it designed it, come down, get some topo maps, see what our drainage needs down there, put a dollar amount on it, and then make a deal like this. Year one, this is going to happen. Year two, this is going to happen. Year three, this. Year four. Then I can sit there and say, well, if I can live 17 years, all this is going to be great down here. But right now, I brought to your attention that we needed a water stand in the park. That's a $100 item, probably $50 in labor. We didn't get it. So how am I supposed to get all warm and fuzzy over the public works whenever we don't even get any action on a $100 item? And our committee down there, it was appointed as a Mark Twain advisory committee. Then it changed. I guess it's because whenever they was making it its own entity, they changed it to the community center. So people down there don't know who to talk to. They don't want to come down there. They had a bunch of meetings right after they got appointed. Nobody could come. And now we don't have any idea who is and who ain't for what. And that'd help. You're just some idea of where we're going and how we're going to get there. You know, and I don't know whether we need an employees association down there.
Well, do you, Dale, do you have a recommendation for the infrastructure workshop? I mean, do you have a...
Yes, I'd like to have somebody bring a workshop down to Mark Twain.
Well, we're doing one right here, so if you, well, would you like to provide some information to us? What you would recommend for your neighborhood?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Right now.
That's what we'd like you to do.
Back when Richard was Public Works Director, we had dirt roads down there, most of them. And his desire, and our desire, was to get paving on it all. And it was limited money. Now we've got this big cash cow called Lance Gilman's TRI. And we'd like to get into some of that money. But they bring the ditches down, and then they go to come up at the intersection because they don't want to put a pipe in because it's expensive. So then the water just floods. We've got this all over. Some of the most critical ones they had to put in or it would have washed the road out. But we're just covered up with that. And the signage down there, we've got San Clemens Avenue. That's what I bought my property on. You go up the other end of it, now it's San Clemens Road. And then we've got signage down there that says Martin Lane. Go to the other end, it says Martin Road or Martin Street, one of the other. And there's just act like nobody even cares. Who's watching the money they're spending? We've got white signs and we've got green signs, and it just, nothing works out, and we don't have anything. So down there in our neighborhood, they say, well, go to Adam. You go to Adam and those guys, and they're over the building. They're over that building down there, community center building. So they'll talk about that, and that's their goat. Where's the goat for the community? There ain't any. So if we've got five people down there, are they gonna wear two hats? The people need to know, and for $210, you can send out a notice to everybody out there what is and what ain't. And other than rumors, you know, and they hear this and they hear that. And, of course, I spread rumors.
At the last meeting, you were going to call Richard Backus and ask him to come down.
No, somebody suggested I do that.
Oh.
Richard Backus isn't the end-all. We need an engineer. There's topo maps that take pictures, boom, down.
I understand that, but you...
Shows elevation.
But you've been talking Rich up quite a bit.
I like Rich. I think
so
he's a great guy.
We thought you were going to ask him to give you a hand down there and come back with some recommendations on these flooding issues and drainage.
Well, to go all over that, a week wouldn't cover it. Go over there and draw pictures and flows and stuff, and people are putting the pipes wrong. See, the county let the people put the pipes in. Some put them in too deep, some put them in too high, some didn't put them in, just put dirt in a ditch.
Well, okay, but if you'd like to write up a list of the things you'd like to address in your community, we're certainly going to go.
Well, mine would be right in my front door. Let's put some curb and gutter there. And there's 480 feet of you know what road
Mark
Twain is?
You want curb and gutter in Mark Twain now?
No, just in front of my house.
Oh, okay. Put that on your list and you give it to us.
Mark Twain, Rowan Gulch is this intersection where the two counties. Okay, there's 480 feet on between me and one and two, the two houses. I told Rich I didn't want people back there because back into my drive stakes. Now I'd like to have access.
I know it is. I'm
so it's the only piece down that is not paved. Could you come down and pave that?
So anyway, I want you to know the Virginia City, we don't have all the same colored signs in Virginia City either.
You change them on one end and say road, and then down there you're the street, and down up there in the middle are avenue?
Some don't exist.
Some don't exist, yeah.
Is there anyone else who'd like
to speak on the subject today?
I would. I have one thing to say. It's those. If we could get rid of those damn white signs, those things have been bugging me for years, and if I don't get those things turned green, I'm quitting this job.
You are?
All right.
I may rent a place out there and run against you.
Would you like to provide the list to us in writing so we can go ahead and put this on?
Right in writing?
Your recommendations for your neighborhood, your signage, you know, your drainage, your culverts.
Yes, you want me to designate where and what grade this
sign. Type it up.
I could do the construction work if I had a plan, but I just can't go and say, well, this needs to have 2 feet down and that up.
Dale, this is a workshop. We're asking for recommendations from people in their neighborhoods on what they want to see go on this list, this infrastructure list. Oh.
We'd like to see you all come down there and send out a letter, a note to everybody to attend a workshop down there in Mark Twain. It wouldn't be hard. One of you could come down and listen and take notes. I go into those other meetings down there and they take notes and I ask for copies of stuff. I don't get anything. And, you know, Adam's a nice guy. I like him, like everybody on the committee.
We're talking about a different subject now, so
are we?
We move on.
Okay.
Mark, would you like to come up and speak now? Thank you, Dale.
What now?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is my time up?
Yeah.
Mark, did you want to speak? Jennifer does.
Jennifer does. Oh, good.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Millsat Barnes. A drinking fountain does not cost $100. A drinking fountain that you would like to be installed from Haas is $2,450.
Yeah, a drinking fountain, farmers.
Right here, Dale Beach. So that's why you need to come in and do your list, like Nicole's suggesting, so that we know what we need in every single community. Things are not $100 anymore. Sorry, I wish they were, but they're not.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hey, Mark. We're going to keep this with infrastructure.
Thank you, Chairman McBride. This is the supplemental list that I picked up today, and two things caught my eye. I'd like the record to reflect two concerns. Under buildings and grounds, I don't even need an answer. I can go look it up. In regards to the DA Sheriff building purchase, I had reason to believe that that was already paid off. So if I was given reason to believe a couple years ago that this has been paid off and I'm finding out now that it has not been paid off, I can go look that up. My second concern, though, this is brand new, never heard of it before, a Justice Court building purchase for $450,000. Today's the first time I've ever heard of purchasing a separate building for the Justice Court, and I would just like to add that I'm in the courthouse all the time. This Justice Court is working fine, and I'm curious to know what the plans are for a
Justice Court building purchased. Sounds like a lot of money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Jenna, I think, again, through these types of workshops, those are great questions. So let me, again, educate the public. Vanessa is clerk to the courts. Myself, Justice of the Peace Harrington, District Attorney Maddox, and probably the big elephant in the room, Judge Russell, have been working with us over about the past year for problems affiliated with running two different courts, and that is a very small office over there. We've looked at that before. So again, as Lance has so well stated, this is a place marker. It may ultimately be a very low priority. We may find other solutions for less than $450,000. I hope this doesn't happen personally, but the Peace Officer Museum may decide that he can't make it, and then that opens up space. So we'll look at using, perhaps, through the approval process, monies that would have gone toward a purchase instead to possibly rehab, because it's a dungeon in there. But that's again, the type of stuff that we want to get out. I also want to state that everybody who has the updated list that Hugh has, again, I apologize, these things are coming in from all over the place. There is another one that belongs on that list that just got overlooked. And that would be, and Mike, this will be a newsflash to you, in Painted Rock, we want to add an additional $25,000 for the necessary maintenance and safety upgrades to the bridge. So again, that's a kind of a perennial problem. And Lance, I apologize that got dropped off. Yeah. But, it's
south for Painted Rock.
Yes. Yeah. It's now on the list.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's substandard and definitely deserves to be on the list. Yeah. Thank you.
Do we own that?
We do.
Yes, we do.
You know, if I could add, too, this is the statute requires that this list be part of the ordinance that we pass. So we have to have a list if we're going to pass an ordinance for the infrastructure stack. So that's what we're doing here, is we're developing a list, and then we can add to it, we can subtract from it. And so this isn't like the Ten Commandments set in stone. But we have to have it by statute. We have to have this list. So that's the reason we're here. That's the reason we've got this list, is that when we pass the ordinance has to include a list of items that we plan to spend the infrastructure tax revenues on. And we can change it. We can subtract from it. But we have to have a list.
Any other discussion on the subject? Mr. Gallagher.
The only thing I would encourage people that, again, if you have a project, even, and some of these are estimates, you know, to go back to drainage in Mark Twain, the Commissioner Gilman asked for, we allocated $50,000. Again, those can also be used, I believe, we have to check the statute for eligibility, but we can use those for the Far West or other vendor studies that will begin to tell us. We have a flood study on the books. Exactly. So a lot of this groundwork has been done already. And for that that hasn't, then hopefully we can use these portions of these allocations to get us the base work to further help the projects down there.
Mr. Chairman. The other thing I'd like to add, and a major thank you, is this wasn't created in a vacuum. And I thank Adam and Ray are here representing Mark Twain today. And we started working together on this list. And it's not comprehensive. It's a place to start. But this did come from the local community, from the folks that live down there. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened in Lockwood. And so we worked with Edna and Alan and the folks that are down there in Lockwood, and they created that. And then we talked to the folks down at Painted Rock, and they all discussed their list. There was a workshop that was held down there, and the thing that they wanted to put on the skip list was the bridge. So there is community involved here. Ray, Adam, I thank you guys so much for the work that you did in here, and I appreciate the letters and the information you sent along.
Sorry. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman, for adding on these other items for the other communities and the TRI, because they were kind of an oversight on everyone else's part. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item 18, discussion, possible action, interlocal agreement
Oh, did you have some more comments?
Yeah, he's going to do this one, I think. This is the interlocal agreement between Story County and the Virginia City Tourism Commission for County Services, Resolution 13-384.
Good afternoon, Board. Robert Morris for the record. This item was postponed because the VCTC Board had not had an opportunity to review and approve the interlocal agreement. I've talked to Mr. Dotson, and he's told me that the VCTC Board did approve this. They had a suggestion to change some of the language to include May as being a little more permissive than an actual requirement. I can tell you that there are probably two or three places that I substituted May for must or shall. My understanding is that their chairman is ready to sign this bill. Just as a reminder, the reason I think that we're doing this is because the Department of Taxation thought it was appropriate for us to have an interlocal agreement with VCTC to allow the county to bill for services provided, and so this agreement does that and is one of the points that the Department of Taxation brought up that they would like to see us do. So it's been reviewed. I think it's pretty straightforward. If there is services that are requested by the VCTC that the county intends on billing, there'll be a bill to the VCTC, and then they would pay it. So unless there are other questions, I'd ask that you go ahead and approve this agreement.
Just so it's clear, and Commissioner Chauvin and Denny and Hugh and I are very familiar with this. I think Mr. Maddox might be too. There is no intent right now to charge the VCTC specifically for items that we're currently doing within our existing capacity. Yeah. We took over HR. There's four employees. You know, it wasn't, yeah. We were able to absorb that internally. Running the books for them through Hugh's office and Vanessa's office created one or two more funds, not that huge. But then when you have a component in your audit that has to be audited during times, that triggers a bill. This allows us to go ahead and pass those charges through. So we'll make changes in funding formulas with the VCTC, I anticipate, in the next year. But we're not going to start charging, most likely not going to start charging for services we already routinely provide within our existing capacity.
Great. So on item number 18, do we have a motion for approval?
You got the spokes out.
Got a couple of.
Why not? I thought the motion and then after discussion.
Go ahead.
Usually before the motion.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mark. You can come up first. And Nicole second.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. I would like the record to reflect that I object to the term may being replaced, you know, for shall. That, you know, in regards to this response to the Department of Taxation, it's a result of requirements, not elective filing, or you know that may I prefer shall. I prefer requirements. And at the last VCTC meeting, I informed the board that I could find nothing in statute that required our district attorney to be legal counsel to the VCTC. I suggest that VCTC get their own legal counsel, and I'm hoping maybe the district attorney could get with the VCTC and clarify their legal counsel. I believe VCTC should get their own legal counsel, I don't think the district attorney is required to offer that service. Thank you.
Thank you. Nicole?
I might add, if I limited my legal advice to people that I'm required to represent, it would be considerably less than what it is now. But
Nicole Bard, Virginia City Highlands resident. I've never understood the VCTC. Is it a standalone organization or is it part of the county?
It's quasi.
Part of the county.
Part
it's
of the
like
county.
The fire department or anything else.
Okay, so we're required, so do we have an interlocal with the fire department?
Yes, we do.
We do?
Yes.
Oh.
Correct. We have an interlocal with 474 Fire District between the county and the...
That reads the same way that
I couldn't tell you that. It's probably much more intense, to tell you the truth, but I'd have to look at the interlocal.
I would want to look at other interlocals that we have if this is, what we do to make sure that there are consistencies. And I don't know the difference, but I don't know what a quasi versus full county organization is. But if it's a standalone organization and the county is providing operations oversight, which is in the contract, then it's not a separate entity. A. B. If it's part of the county, I don't understand the need for the interlocal, and in particular to this level of detail.
We'll let you go talk to the Department of Taxation.
No, I mean...
So let me just address that. I think...
I understand everything except the language. I understand supporting for human resource, administrative stuff, for which human resources is administrative. Help me figure out the fiscal reporting part. That's administrative. But operations oversight is physical management direction of the enterprise, which shouldn't be in this contract.
The state believes that this is a separate, independent local government, which comes under the Local Budget Act.
Got that.
So.
Understand it.
There is also an AG opinion that under the section that allows the county to create a fair and recreation board says that it is part of the county. We have a slight difference of opinion. One of the things they asked to do was to do this interlocal agreement, and so we're doing this at the request of the Department of Taxation. As Mr. Witten pointed out, since the employees of the VCTC are county employees, we would not really actually be billing for those services, but the Department of Taxation insisted on that, and that's why we're doing it.
Okay, and I understand that. What I'm questioning is adding operational oversight to this implies they are under the direct management of potentially under the direct management of the county, when in fact what they've got is a board of directors. What they have is an executive director responsible, accountable to that board of directors, and the county isn't in that operational management chain from what I can tell, and yet in here it is. So just figure out what it is we're doing.
I think it just is an alternative that the county, if they did provide the service, could bill for it. I don't think it changes the requirements of the board. I think the VCTC is allowed to spend their money that they get from the county in any way they see fit.
I read this as saying the county directly manages operations of the VCTC. My question is that's right? Fine, no problem. If that's not right, then you take it out of the contract. Contract is contract.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to chime in here with for my department, operational oversight means I take a look at their payroll, I take a look at all their vouchers, we take a look at all of their budget items, we review budget items with them. So operational oversight means that for my department that we make sure that the money is supposed to go where it goes.
It's a payroll. Financial operations oversight.
Pretty much. Yes.
Edit it to say financial, because the way it reads, it's operational oversight, which is enterprise operational. If he's clarifying, and you are, to say it's per the comment you have in your fiscal reporting,
and financial oversight for networks.
Well, and there may be other items of oversight. For instance, we run the BCTC off of our shared phone systems. So oversight could mean any number of things.
That's why it needs to get clarified, because this is a contract. Decide to do it or not. I'm just saying that this, the way it's written, gives the county the right to completely run the BCTC, and I don't know that that's what the taxation department really wants us to do.
As a clarification, Mr. Chairman, the requirements for being a separate local government within the financial statement presentation is they are considered a component part, a major component part of Story County, and therefore can be combined within the financial statements. Now, this is an AICPA ruling, generally accepted accounting standard, and also a generally accepted governmental standard. And it probably saves us a tremendous amount of money in the long run because it gives us a full view of what the county position is. Even though there's two separate local governments, we also have some enterprise funds in there too. But I like that better than getting four different pieces of information from four different whatevers and trying to figure out what exactly Story County is doing as a whole, so I think it's a good job.
Thank you. Mr. Gill, you have anything to comment on this? No?
What?
You got anything to comment on this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm napping a little bit there.
Well,
I have a motion to make, though, on that.
Go right ahead.
I would move to approve the interlocal agreement between Story County and the BCTC for county services, Resolution 13384.
It's been moved. Do I have a second?
You have a second.
Moved and second to approve interlocal agreement between Story County and the Virginia City Tourism Commission for County Services, Resolution 13-384. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
You know, if I could go back on a staff comment, Mr. Phillips brought up a point that I had planned on, and it slipped my mind. I typically don't do outside my normal functions, legal work, and I'm supposed to get permission from the commission to do it. Recently, St. Mary's Retreat and Art Center had a legal problem arise. They're not really a subdivision of the county, but I went ahead and represented them. I brought that to the attention of the city or the county manager that I was going to do that. I don't know, and maybe we can agendize a discussion of this, but we have several entities. Another one is Mark Twain. There was a recent open meeting law complaint filed against Mark Twain that I responded to. Technically, they're, again, not a political subdivision of the county. They're, what we've done is, like in other, like the Fourth Ward School, St. Mary's Retreat and Arts Center, I don't know how many others because they keep popping up every now and then, but because we do have an association with them, most of those entities like Mark Twain, St. Mary's, any one of them, on occasion, I do legal work for them. It's going to be my practice, and I'm trying to get this worked out, the relationship of the district attorney with the county manager, in terms of providing legal services, but I wanted this board to be aware of that. I spent 3-4 hours doing some legal work for St. Mary's Retreat and Art Center. And on occasion, Mark Twain, I didn't feel compelled to, an open meeting law complaint got filed. Technically, they're not a political subdivision of this county. I think the plan there is like with the Senior Citizen Center, with the St. Mary's Retreat and Art Center, with the Fourth Ward School, they have gone and got 501(c)(3) status, and we've turned over county assets. My understanding is the St. Mary's Retreat and Art Center, county owns the land there and the building, same thing with Forsport School, same thing with Mark Twain Community Center. And because we do own the land, and because it would become, I have a feeling that they would have had to pay $2,000-$3,000 to St. Mary's Art Retreat Center to get an attorney to represent them in that matter. I have undertaken representation of them, and I just want the board to be aware of that. If there's a problem, we can agendize it and discuss it, but in the future, what I'll do when I do that representation is I'll make the county manager aware that I'm doing it. Obviously, I'm not charging them anything, and I just thought I should bring that to your attention.
And just, again, that matter that he represented needed to be expedited and got handled quickly, efficiently, and cost-effectively.
Sure, so and these properties that are owned by the county and run by 501(c)(3)s, We have a real interest in making sure that there's no legal issues that come up or liens placed on our properties or anything like that. So I think you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, and maybe we could formulate in the future, put something on the agenda and formulate a policy in regards to that so that we do provide some legal representation to BCTC. Bob has been quite a bit for them. But it's more in terms of its relationship with the county as much as anything else.
Yeah.
And I don't think they need outside legal counsel, and that's going to get expensive, and that's just going to be money that's spent on lawyers and not on what the BCTC does. So
we want to keep you busy and make sure you're not bored.
That's about it, too.
Yeah, that's all I need to hear. Okay. Are you done there, Mr. Counselor?
I just want to make sure you guys were aware of that.
Got it. Okay, let's move on to item 19. We'll have Mr. Gallagher up there. Discussion and possible action on the approval resolution 14-388 to approve Wells Fargo as the lender for the $3,002,000 interim debenture for the purpose of building a new wastewater treatment facility.
Mr. Chairman, this really is a housekeeping item. We've already approved this, but from a suggestion from Wells Fargo and Cheryl down at USDA, they would like to have a resolution to this fact. You've already done this, so this is pretty much a housekeeping item. Once the Bureau of Land Management decides that they're going to sell us this property, things are going to move pretty fast. So having this in place, we'll now be able to go ahead and meet with Wells Fargo, get all of that stuff done, meet with whatever the council is that we have for bond council and stuff. This is just a process by which now Wells Fargo, their lending institution, knows they are now, by a resolution, authorized to go ahead and be the lender. So that's pretty much all it is. And if I will read that to you if you'd like. Resolution number 14.388, whereas the current wastewater treatment plant is obsolete and not in compliance with current standards, and whereas Story County has contracted with the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, to finance the cost of a new wastewater treatment plant that is estimated at $5,314,794, of which $3,002,000 will come in the form of a USDA rural development loan. And whereas Wells Fargo has been selected as the lender for the $3,002,000 interim debenture, therefore be it known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County hereby selected Wells Fargo Bank as lender for $3,002,000 interim loan, passed and adopted this 7th day of January, 2014.
Thank you. Any discussion on this?
A motion to approve resolution 14-388.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, my only concern is if this shows it's signed by a show banker and chairman, of course that will be modified.
Big deal.
Yeah.
We'll get that.
We'll fix that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Hearing none, call for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, none. Motion carries. Okay, Mr. Gallagher will continue on here. Item 20, discussion, possible action, approval of the comptroller's recommendations for corrective action regarding certified audit for the year ending June 30, 2013.
Mr. Chairman, we have discussed this in prior meetings. This is just the formal requirement that the board accepts the recommendations, which will now go to the Department of Taxation. I will tell you that I have run this by the Department of Taxation. They are in concurrence with the procedures by which we're going to that we have recommended to solve some of these problems. If you would like me to go through them bit by bit, I will do that. Otherwise, I will ask for your questions or comments.
I've read it all.
I've read it all.
Wanted to go over it.
Just some questions.
Sure.
Generally, I believe we're referring to the, how many was it, 8 recommendations?
7 recommendations. 7.
Yeah. And so a couple of requests that I would have there of the accounting department. I noticed on a number of the answers, it was that the department would take it under consideration or best efforts or take it under review. And I would ask on those areas that were specifically recommended that we develop a procedure that we all can identify that we're going to follow. And I don't have one specifically here. Let me see if I can. Here's an example in recommendation number 2, staff will pay closer attention. And so the words closer attention, we should be able to develop a procedure we're going to follow or who on these areas. And I would request that that accounting do that along the lines. And the last one, very important, is recommendation number 7, the payback of the deficit of the fire and the jail fund. And specifically, is there a payback plan? And I'd like to know from my chair where we're going to develop the source for the money that's going to be transferred in for the payment plan. And is there a procedure or is there an identified source of repayment or how are we going to accomplish that?
That's a great question. And I think that the next meeting when we go through the budgetary process, that will be one of those items that we will now have a recommendation to solve that problem. Then we will then monitor all of that stuff through the various months. At the second meeting of the commissioners for continued this, so we know leading up to the tentative budget or even to the final budget where our financial position is within each department.
Well, I know you and I are in agreement that the recommendations are wonderful that came from our auditors, and so to that extent, I appreciate it. Then we could address that and our procedures for actually following through on those recommendations.
Absolutely.
That'd be excellent. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Also, if I could verbally clarify, because I know Sheriff Antonoro mentioned this, an item I believe to appear in 1G for the jail fund. The intended action is a new resolution will be developed to include operations and adjustments will be made to include a consistent revenue stream. That is still being discussed by Hugh, myself, Sheriff Antonoro, Jesse, and Melissa. This may be one of those. The jail fund is an old-fashioned, archaic animal with a lot of ambiguities. One way or another, it would be our intent to have a resolution that either A, clarifies its intended use, i.e. sustaining operations of the jail, and then find a funding mechanism, or two, and quite honestly, most likely, abolish the fund, you know, and run it through the general, because the less funds you have, usually, the better off you are. So those are the avenues that the three of us here and others, our key staffs, are both pursuing, and that will all again be done no later than the tentative budget process as far as getting it set up for the next fiscal year. I really support that, Pat, and I appreciate that. I've watched here over the last year the sheriff struggle with the jail fund and how he was going to implement it, and it's just not reasonable of us to require a request that he balance that particular fund without the resources of the revenue to do so. So I personally would like to see that resolved on his behalf. Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
Anything else on this? So, did you want to make a motion to approve this?
Sure.
Did you want to add in your provision there for policy?
Do you believe that that's necessary, Pat, that in the approval of this, that I would add in my conditions that you come back with procedures to address the recommendation? Would that be reasonable in this particular?
Well, we don't want to change the letter. I think the letter's been approved and vetted by taxation. So if your motion would be to approve that, but then also direct the comptroller to periodically report on these, I think that's a good motion.
I'll take a shot at this. And I would recommend the approval of the comptroller's recommendations for corrective action regarding the certified audit for the year ended June 30th, 2013, and that the comptroller address the recommendations, creating verifiable procedures that will be followed in implementing the recommendations.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. All right, item 21.
Commissioners, thank you. Dean Haymore, Story County Community Development Director, responsible for business licensing, along with the Sheriff's Office. I recommend that all the second readings, A through N, are approved. I recommend a motion to be approved for you guys.
Wow. Cool.
Pass it for.
See, JoJo's getting legal with us, huh?
Yeah. Again.
Anybody have anything on this? Any discussion on these?
Motion to approve them.
Okay. I got a motion for approval?
All of them?
Yes.
All of them? That's the first.
Yeah, that's the first, yeah.
That's
all two-thirds, and then there's about four missing.
A through N, yes.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moved in second for approval. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thanks, Dean. All right. Item number 22, correspondence.
There is no action. We just try to include that, particularly when it's addressed to the commission as a whole. Yeah. The correspondence in, I want to clarify.
Letter. You want to read the letter?
I can, certainly. The correspondence was addressed to the commissioners with a CC to the Comstock Chronicle and a couple of reporters at the Reno Gazette Journal. And the subject is opposed ceding 1,200 acres of Story County to Washoe County. My wife and I own 10 acres adjacent to Lousetown Road, and we purchased to build a retirement home on. This land was purchased specifically for its rural lifestyle and low-density zoning. We see the proposed ceding of 1,200 acres north of our property as detrimental to the lifestyle we desire and destructive to the environment a large development brings. We also strongly oppose this action initiated by out-of-state developers who have no long-term interest in our state and its residents, Bill and Linda Parsons from Moapa, Nevada. And this, again, I want to stress is in regards not to the boundary adjustments that staff is now working on with Washoe County. This is what we would refer to as the Sunny Hills one, which has never come before this board yet, to the best of my knowledge, other than verbally. And there's been one developer-sponsored event out in the Highlands that, from what I heard, did not go very well. So,
no.
Very good.
This is a protest on the Sunny Hills parcels. Moving from Story County to Washoe County, it is not on the components that are owned currently by Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and might come in upon mutual agreement between Washoe and Story County. So.
Very good. Okay, now we're to the fun part. Number 23, public comment. Who would like to speak to the public comment?
Anyone? Okay, we're out of here.
Mark's got his hand up. Go ahead, Mark.
Story County Commission meeting, the 7th of January, 2014. Speaking to item, Mark Joseph Phillips for the record, Story County resident. Item number 23, public comment. The subject of financial disclosure statements came up earlier. I appreciate that. Recent laws, I would recommend y'all contact your attorneys before filling out these reports. They're a little more stringent. It came up at the last meeting about benefits above and beyond the $28,000 a year required by law. In reading the new statute, I believe you have to disclose, you know, if you're making $50,000 a year, that should be put down. And also in regards to the McBride Family Trust properties, as an officer, Marshall, I have no doubt that you should disclose the McBride Family Trust properties worth more than $4,000 in your financial disclosure statement. Please see an attorney, especially patented mining claims on the top of Mount Davidson. That would be relevant this year. And also in regards to, I'm working with the school district, it's a $282,000 question. I still have found no record that the $282,000 check used to pay off Piper's Opera House was ever used to pay off Piper's, so I'm working on that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Mr. Beach?
I'm still Dale Beach, and I still live in Mark Twain, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's
Commissioners, DA. I got a big interest in that jail fund. I'd like to see it abolished forever. Shouldn't have never been on the books ever again. But anyway, we've got a little problem. Lot number 17, Prospector Road. I thought it was a district attorney, but the guy doing all the work hasn't got a beard, so it's not him. But he's a collector. And he's hauling truckload after truckload after truckload of treasures and piling them on that lot. And I tracked back where he's coming from. And he's over on the end of Sutro Springs in Lyon County, and he hasn't got half the stuff there on this lot. It's still over there. They're working daily. And they're in hard worker. He's a retiree, and if you guys need a hand, you ought to hire him, because he is a good hard worker. But I brought this up at the meeting down in Mark Twain, and two of you were there. And I asked you, go look at this and see what you think. Because there's 15 years ago or so, there was cars up on blocks up here on this streetlight out here in front of us. And they passed an ordinance, and it says what you can and what you can't have on your lot. This guy's got 40 acres worth of stuff on that lot, that 1 acre lot, and he ain't half done yet. I don't have anything to do with the guy. I don't know him. He's probably a hell of a nice guy. But somebody needs to go down there and choke him off and say, hey, dude, you know, this just can't happen. And there's got to be some ordinance that says that. I don't know what it says, but they straighten it out here in Virginia City. Come down there and help us. And then this other little thing, Rowan Gulch, the only piece that isn't paved is 446 feet of Rowan Gulch. It starts right at my intersection, goes due west up to where that old whorehouse was. Still the semblance of it's up there. And I asked Richard to help me correct it 15 years ago, and he put pile of dirt up there and people go around it. But anyway, I'd like it up to spec, county spec, if you would, because I want to be able to get back there. And I got ideas on doing a in-house shooting range for me and my friends. And I don't have access because the only house by my house is over my septic system. And then they say, no, don't be running back and forth over your septic system. So that's why I'd like this road put into use. It's on the plans. It's between lot 1 and lot 2. And I'm lot 2, and the trailer next door is lot 1. And it's the only place down that's not got any paving. And about this road stuff down there, and you asked me for a recommendation. I talked to Adam and another fellow out in the hall, and they said that Mike Nevin has a plan for the drainage in Mark Twain. So am I just duplicating what he's done? Because every intersection down there needs grading, drop inlets, and pipe. And that's it. Everything down there needs attention. So I'm 17 minutes over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I leave now?
Sure.
Sure.
Anyone else like to speak? Okay, we're adjourned.